Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Morning. We're jumping in. We're getting through the book of Ephesians, which has just been we've been in it 2 weeks now, and we're through the first six verses. Not sure how long we'll go, but it'll be fun as we go through it. I want to encourage you, if you are not doing like the, if you have the time, to go ahead and read through the book of Ephesians as we preach through it. We'll be in it for several weeks. I think we're scheduled at least 12 weeks, so you got time to read through the book of Ephesians, in addition to the daily reading. And you can never get enough of the Word of God, amen? Yeah. Well, we're in the book of Ephesians, and we just want to jump right into it. Ephesians is really where Paul lays out the blueprint for the church. He's saying, this is what the church is supposed to be like. Here's the foundation of what the church is. And my wife and I, before coming to Taiwan 4 years ago, as we're praying about the church here and preparing our hearts, one of the things God really spoke to us was this church in Ephesus and about how the church was started and how the church was built, how it was built on discipleship. Paul going in there with people that he did life together with. And most Bible historians say that when Paul came to Ephesus, that he actually worked as a tent maker while preaching the gospel, while building the church. And so I love that connection, that it's not just professional ministers, but it's people in the marketplace that were building the church. And as that church grew in 2 years, the scriptures tell us how the gospel went to the whole region of Asia Minor, that whole Roman province. Everybody heard the gospel, and multiple churches were started from that church. And so we just feel like that's a picture for the church here in Taipei. That God wants to reach beyond this church, and that it's not just the professional ministers that God wants to use, but God wants to use every one of us in the places where we work, that all of us are ministers, because we all have the same Spirit of God inside us. We all have the same Jesus that we walk with, who lives in our hearts. And so each one of you, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have the Spirit of God inside of you, and you have the ability to be a blessing and a minister to others around you. So we like to do this. I'm going to try to do it not as much as I've done it sometimes, but we do team preaching here. And so I'm going to invite you to preach with me. Turn to someone who looks like they need a word and just tell them, you're a minister. All right. Quick recap over Ephesians 1, verses 1 through 6. We talked about how this section of scripture, verses 3 through 14, are actually just one long sentence. It's like Paul, there's no commas, there's no periods. It's just Paul, like he can't get it out fast enough. He just wants to make this exclamation of praise to who God is, and declare God's goodness. It's like it's Paul's declaration of praise and love to God. And we referred back to how when there's a book, On the Road, by a guy named Jack Kerouac, and he wrote it all as one long paragraph, this book originally, on one long scroll, 120-foot, 36-meter-long scroll that he just put in his typewriter and wrote, and just started taping page after page together, and wrote it all. 21 days he wrote this book, and how that book actually changed American culture, and how this book, Ephesians, has changed the church culture. He wanted people to, he wanted the Jews and Christians to see, this is the way you used to be. But when you become a Christian, when you become a follower of Christ, this is how God transforms your life. Because the Bible says we're new creatures in Christ. And this first section of scripture, what Paul does is he says, as we walk through this world, you are in Taipei or in Ephesus, you're in the place where you live, wherever you might live. He says, you're in Taipei, but you're also in Christ. And as Christians, we walk in these two worlds, and our role is to bring the two worlds together. How does Christ integrate into your neighborhood, into your workplace, into your school? And then he lays that out through the book of Ephesians. So he says, this is what the church is. And he starts off with just this hymn of praise. It's one long poem, one long song of praise to God, declaring who God is. And the main thing that he runs through is, here's how God the Father loves you. Here's what God the Father has done for your life. Here's how God the Father sees you. Here's how Jesus has loved you. Here's what Jesus has done in your life. And here's how the Holy Spirit loves you and what he's done in your life. And so last week we went through how God the Father loves us, how he chose us. That means he chose you. He specifically said, you're the one I want. And it's almost like God the Father is arranging a marriage and picking a bride for his son. And the one he chose is us. Now for the guys, I know that feels a little weird. Get over it. The girls always gotta, be okay when we talk about men. And the Bible talks about men a lot. And they gotta realize, okay, he's actually talking about us too. So guys, it's okay. God's also talking about you too when he talks about being the bride of Christ. Because in the end, if you've been married for a long time, you realize it's really about the friendship that you have, the companionship that you have. And that's what we're going to have with God for all of eternity. So we're going to have with Jesus. And so Jesus, God looked through time and he said, I want you for my son. I choose you. So you are chosen, Paul says. Not only are you chosen, you're blessed. The Bible says that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. I was in a small group last night. I'm starting a Saturday night small group, 8 o'clock Saturday nights, which is always fun time to get together. So we had our first meeting last night. And we're just talking through last week's sermon, and going through how God blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And they're like, "Well, what's a spiritual blessing?" And it doesn't seem as attractive to me as like a financial blessing or a physical blessing. I think I'd rather get a new car would be nice, a better apartment. That just seems like more value to me than spiritual blessings. And so we just have to unpack that a little bit and think, okay, what does that mean when God's blessed us with all spiritual blessings? Well, it means two things. One is God is super generous. God has always been super generous. When he put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he just said, all yours. All the fruit, all the garden, anything you want to eat belongs to you, except for that one fruit, right? Now, don't eat of that one fruit. What was that one fruit? Anybody know? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which sounds to me like so much of Christianity. Just know good and evil and then try to be good. At least that's the way I saw Christianity growing up. And then to realize that that's actually the one thing God said, don't do. So it just confuses me sometimes. Like, okay, God, all the fruit except not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but I feel like that's what I'm supposed to be doing. But actually, see, we get it all wrong. Christianity is not about a religion of right and wrong and what you're supposed to do. It's all about a relationship with God. And what God meant to say was, you don't have to figure out for yourself and try to keep all these rules. All you need to do is walk in relationship with me. Because I'll help you. I'll teach you what's right and what's wrong. And instead of trying to obey a dead list of rules, which we so often get wrong, and we use those rules to bang each other over the head and to condemn others and to divide and hurt. And Christians are famous for just condemning other people and looking down and, figuring out who's out. We use the rules to figure out who do we want to not be friends with. Who can we cancel? Who disobeyed the rules? And then we get this picture of that's what God's like. And we get this totally wrong picture of who God is. When God's really all about the relationship. How much he loves us. We were just talking before the service. I was talking to Simon and Christine and saying, can we drink coffee in there? And I don't know what the rules are. Can we drink coffee inside of here or not, But I said, there's this saying that I grew up with. Sometimes an ounce of apology, a little bit of apology, is worth a pound of persuasion. In other words, you might never be able to persuade someone to let you do something, but if you just go ahead and do it, you can apologize later. And you know, that's especially true when you're with someone who likes you. Like if you go, you know, in the U.S., you're not supposed to bring outside food into theaters. They want you to charge you 10 times more than what something is worth and buy their food, right? But if you know the person, that the security guards, then, you know, you can, you know, I've had people sneak pizzas in and see any kind of, just sneak it in there, you know, because you have favor. And they'll let you get in there. And favor is like you go up to the airline and you always say, well, what's the difference between grace and mercy? Well, if you go up to the airline and you missed the flight, or you forgot to buy a ticket, or you know you your baggage is overweight, you go up there and say, oh, my bag is overweight. Well, mercy is, that's okay, you know, we'll bring it on. It's, you know, 23 kilo or 24 kilos instead of 23, get it on. That's mercy. Like, we'll overlook your error. But grace is, but I'm also going to put you up in first class. Let me just put you up in the business class, you know. That's grace. Like, I don't deserve that. I don't need that. I have a seat, but you're just going to give me a better seat because you like me. And see, that's how God sees us. The Bible says that God sees us with grace. And that's what Paul, throughout his sermon, his letters, he's always saying, the grace of God be with you. The favor of God. God wants to do good things because he likes you. That's why he chose you. Not only did he choose you, which is pretty great to be married to the son of the ruler of the universe. That's a pretty good choice of a marriage partner. But not only that, but then God goes above and beyond that. Not only does he forgive us and give us great things and bless us, but then he says, I want you to be family. I'm going to also adopt you. He didn't have to adopt us. It's pretty great that we just even get to heaven. But he says, more than that, I want you to be family. That's how much God loves you. He wants you to be family. Turn to your neighbor and say, God really, really loves you. Now here's just a few, let me give you a few spiritual blessings. When people do studies, scientific studies, they can't really get too far into the spiritual realm. Like, okay, I sense God with you. But what they try to do is, like, people who pray a lot and people who, like, really value spiritual things, how do their lives differ from other people? And here's what they found. People who really value spiritual things, who pursue God, who pray, they have better health. They have better mental health. They have a better self-image. They have less depression. They have less stress in their lives, less anxiety. And I've known people who are, like, really wealthy, but are just, their lives are consumed by anxiety, consumed by greed. I've known some folks who are super successful, but they're just not very nice. And what spiritual blessings do is they remove the anxiety. They remove the stress. They remove the depression. They make you a nice person. And they help you to see others the way that God sees them. They help you to receive the love of God and walk through life feeling loved and accepted. And so when God says, I bless you with all spiritual blessings, it's like no matter where you come from, what your station in life is, you're going to feel loved. You're going to feel like a winner. Jesus says, I've made you more than conquerors. So that we walk through life, and it doesn't matter whether we win the contract or we don't. We come through life with a joy and a sense of success that carries us through the inevitable ups and downs of life and living in a sin-broken world. And there's no value that you can put on that. All right, let's get past the recap, otherwise we won't get very far. So today, we're going to talk about the love of Jesus, and if we get past the love of Jesus, we'll talk about the love of the Holy Spirit. How did Jesus love us? All right, so we look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. There we go. It says, to the praise of His glorious grace, the grace, the favor of God. See, mercy is forgiveness for when we mess up. Grace is blessing that we don't deserve, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. So God gives us grace freely. In other words, you don't have to earn it. It's not given to you because of what you've done. It's not given to you because of who you are. It's given to you freely. It's like the Garden of Eden, or like we often point back to when Jesus was baptized. Before He had ever started His ministry or done any kind of ministry, God the Father spoke out of heaven and said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And God was just showing us that He's pleased with you before you ever do anything good for Him. In other words, you don't have to earn God's favor. God already likes you. He not only loves us, like as Christians, we know we have to love everybody and we say, "Oh, I love them, but I don't like them." God loves you and He likes you. You just got to let that sink in. He likes seeing you. Every morning when you wake up, God's waiting. He loves to talk to us in the morning. He loves to walk with us through the day. God likes you. And so as Christians, when we start to realize how much God likes us, it changes our view of ourselves and of others. But that's the truth. God likes you, and that liking, that favor, the grace of God, the upgrade from economy to business, is freely given because God likes you. The love of Jesus. Verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. You're just going to see grace throughout this section of Scripture. Because again and again, Paul is trying to remind you, this is not something you earned because of your religious activity. This is not something you earned by being good. This is something that came to you freely from God because of how much He loves you. And the focus that Paul is trying to get us to is that God loves us. And that love was before we even knew Him, before we even existed. God already decided that He loves us and He likes us. That's like, I don't know if you've ever met someone for the first time, but you've heard so many good things about them, and they're friends of your friends. And so when you meet them, you're already just, looking forward to meet them. And when you meet them from the very first moment, like, "You're my new best friend." And then they turn out to be even more wonderful than you imagined. Anybody ever met someone like that? Just had an introduction to someone, you know? As I think living like here in Taipei and in Guam and New York, you're always meeting new people all the time. Especially in this Every Nation Church, we have people from every nation always passing through and coming through. And there's just this connection that you feel. And certain folks that you, from the first time you meet them, it's just like, "Oh, we just click." That's how God views you. God says, "From before I ever met you, I already really, really liked you. And I've been so looking forward to meeting you." Because the truth is, we were created so that God could love us. It's kind of like parents with a baby. That baby's still in the womb. That baby hasn't done anything. But when it pops out, everyone's just so excited. "The new baby, congratulations. You know, it's so great. You got a baby. Oh, how awesome." I mean, even in pregnancy, people are already saying, "Congratulations, that's so amazing." Because we're just looking forward to that new little one. And every parent, you know, just they start off with love. And that's why God is our Father. Because He's, before you're even born, God has been waiting with anticipation for you. And that's rarely how we think about God. That's rarely how we think about our relationship with Him. And so Paul is saying, let me shake you up here and Shake off some of the lies that you've been believing. That you have to do everything right to earn God's favor. And let me tell you, the Father loves you. He has always loved you. He's loved you from before you existed. My prayer this morning is that some of that would begin to just kind of break through our rational thinking and our emotional thinking. Well, I haven't felt it yet. And where the Spirit of God can start to just drop that in your spirit. So it starts to become a reality that comes out of our spirit, that part of us that connects with God. Because that'll be life transforming. And it'll change the way you view life, the world, yourself, and others. The love of Jesus. In Him we have redemption. And that redemption just means freedom. Because what redemption means is that it's a recognition that we were born in slavery to sin. In other words, because you were born into a sin-broken world, because you were children of Adam and Eve who first sinned, and because we all have our own sins that we also do. Anybody here sin? Yeah, a few of us. You know. Greedy, gluttonous, jealous, you know. A lie a little bit here and there. But all of us are sinners. And the Bible says if you've committed a sin, you have a weight on you. You have a debt of sin that you owe. And that the Bible says the only thing that can pay for sin is a life. Giving your life, dying for that. And whether you have to pay now or pay later, that debt has hung over your head from the moment that you stepped out of your mama's womb. I don't know if you ever have lived, anybody here ever lived under debt? Don't have to raise your hand. Yeah, I have lived under debt. I have lived under debt to the IRS, which is the worst. I find out, they say, get a letter and say, you actually owe this much. And like, how could I owe that much? Did I make that much? You know, just how am I going to pay that thing? And there's just this weight that comes on you when you're under debt. And especially, I mean, I don't know about Taiwan, but in America, so many people live under crushing debt. And that debt just keeps building up in the credit card, and it just starts to weigh you down. And I've had friends who had hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, you know. And it just weighs on you. And you and I were born with this debt, this slavery to sin. And although we may not feel it yet, it may not have come down on us yet. Like the IRS may not have come and garnished your wages or taken your home yet. But you have this weight over you. And for all of us, we live under the weight of sin, even if we don't recognize it. Even if that letter hasn't come in the mail yet, we actually live under that. But Jesus said, I paid that debt. When I died on the cross, I paid your debt of sin. You have a freedom now to live without this burden, this debt of sin on your life. And so what redemption means, it just means freedom. Because you were under slavery to that debt. And in Jesus' time, if you owed a debt like that, that you couldn't repay, then slavery was the route. You became that person's property. And that's how you repaid the debt. And if you owed a debt you could not pay, you were in slavery for the rest of your life. And that's the picture. For us, if we don't get rid of the weight of sin, even if we don't know that we have that debt, you're going to wake up in eternity and find that you are a slave to sin for all of eternity. And the only escape from that weight is the giving of a life. And Jesus gave his life for you and I so that we could find freedom. Not only freedom from this weight of death, but also forgiveness. Forgiveness of our sins. Every time that we mess up, God forgives. I'm so grateful for forgiveness. Because I have been in some big fights with my wife. I know it's like shocking. But sometimes my wife and I, you know, I know my wife looks so sweet. She gets up here and sings so sweetly. But she is tough. And she can be strong. And we have gotten in some big arguments where like, I'm not backing down. You know, just going at it. You did wrong. Well, you did wrong too, you know. And then you're just stuck because I did wrong and you did wrong. And you offended me and I offended you. And we're just going to go to separate rooms, be mad at each other. Right? I know none of the other friends and couples have ever experienced that. I don't know if you guys ever had fights like that, right? But then there comes that moment where you're just like, I was going to say sorry. And my wife just sticks her head in the door and says, hey, I'm really sorry. Will you forgive me? Man, that just crushes that hatred, that offense. And then what happens in me is like, of course I forgive you. And will you forgive me? I messed up, you know? And there's something about forgiveness. It just softens our hearts and it brings us back into relationship and reconnects us. And that's what God has done for us. He's given us forgiveness. Anytime that we mess up, God's heart is always to be the first to forgive. Because he so desires that relationship. And it hurts him so bad every time that we sin or that we pull away from him. Because we are created for him to love us. God loves you. He is so looking forward to eternity with you. That Jesus came down to earth, laid down his life, went through the pain, the excruciating pain, humiliation, and shame of the cross so that we could be welcome into eternity with him. And it doesn't matter how, whether you've kept all the rules or messed all the rules up. In fact, Paul says, God's grace, his forgiveness is so amazing. It's really, I feel like I could just go out and sin even more and experience more forgiveness from God. He says, but I don't go out and sin more because that just causes more pain. But I could. God is so forgiving. His grace is so amazing. And we have this picture of God that God is just up there in heaven waiting for us to mess up so he can whack us. The truth is, it's so much the opposite. Every time that we mess up, God is just so longing that we would say, hey, God, would you forgive me? Because he so wants to forgive us and bring us back into relationship. And sometimes we think, you know, getting to heaven is I got to hit all these standards. I got to answer all the questions right. I got to have my theology all correct. And that's how we'll get into heaven. I can tell you this. When you get to heaven, God's not going to be standing at the gate and saying, okay, so what did you believe about Jesus? And did you get your theology right about redemption? Do you understand justification? How's your understanding soteriology, which is the study of salvation? Do you really know, you know, why should I let you in? I love the story that one preacher tells, and he says, you know, Jesus said to the thief hanging on the cross next to him, he said, this day I'm going to see you in paradise. And so that thief gets to heaven, and whoever's at the gate says, so why should we let you in? Are you saved? I don't know about salvation. Well, have your sins been forgiven and are you justified? I don't know about justification. So then what qualifies you to be here? So well, the guy on the cross next to me said I could come. Jesus says, you can come. He said, I already paid for your sins. If you want to be with me, I want you to be with me. It's that relationship with him. That's Christianity. That's perhaps one of the best pictures. Just coming and saying, coming to Jesus, saying, Jesus, I trust you. And Jesus saying, okay. Because it's him. It's knowing him. That's what Christianity is. Verse 8, that he lavished on us this love, this forgiveness, and his forgiveness. He lavished redemption and forgiveness on us. So we don't use the word lavish very much. Anybody use lavish? Yeah, I lavished, you know, my wife with love. She lavished me with food. But lavish just means extravagantly, excessively more than what we deserved. He lavished us with freedom. He gave us more than we deserved, more than we wanted. I used to have we had this auntie, and every time you go to her house, she just liked to put food on your plate. And she just keep putting more food on your plate. And when you go to her house, if you don't finish eating, the food just keeps piling up. It just keeps more and more and more food keeps coming on your plate. And she just loved doing that. Mostly she'd do that to make fun of us, you know, the kids. You don't even finish your food, here's some more. You don't finish your food, here's some more, you know. And the blessings of God are kind of like that. It's just like he lavishes us more than what we can even handle. That's how much forgiveness he has for you. You don't have to beg for forgiveness. You just have to learn to receive his forgiveness, because that's how much he loves us. That's the love of God for us. We talked about how the story of the prodigal father, the prodigal son, we always call it in the Bible, how the prodigal son took his father's inheritance, wasted it all just on, you know, crazy wild living, and then ran out of everything, went back to the father. And the father just brought out the best food for him, brought out the best clothes, and said, my son who's dead, let's just lavish him with all the good things that he's been missing. That's a picture of our Father. He lavishes us with forgiveness. He doesn't just forgive us. Like the son came back, so I'll just ask the father if I could just be a, I already wasted the inheritance. I treated my father so horribly, but if perhaps I could just be a servant in his household. But that's not the way the father treats us. He just says, no, I'm going to restore you to full sonship with all the blessings. See, every time that when we mess up, that's how God receives us back. And for the legalists amongst us, those who are like, you know, black and white folks, I just said, that's not right. You know, they messed up. They should be punished. We love the punishment part. God loves the blessing part. God loves you that much. He wants to spoil you. Now, God will also discipline us. And God will bring us to maturity. He will mature us. But God has this amazing way of spoiling us and maturing us. And as Christians, as we grow up, we want to learn to receive the spoiling of God on our lives. Because he knows when we need to be spoiled. And then he knows when we need to be disciplined. And that's what a good parent does. And this is what God does in our lives. And as we learn how much God loves us, it makes it so much easier for us to both receive the spoiling part of it, the lavishing of God, but also to receive the discipline of God. That helps us to mature in him. Because God wants to give you authority. God wants to give you blessing and influence. But nobody loves a spoiled brat. And so God is also going to develop character in our lives. And raise us up to be people that not only have blessing and influence, but know how to handle that. And that's why God gives us the blessing with wisdom. Let's go on here. Lavish us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. And so here's what God, as God blesses us, he also gives us wisdom and understanding to know how to handle that. But he also gives us purpose. There's nothing worse than someone who has all kinds of wealth and riches, but no sense of purpose. People have committed suicide because they had so much wealth, but no purpose. And so what God does is He blesses us, but He also gives us purpose. Because it's not just about having stuff. It's having stuff that we really use to make a difference. Because that's what brings a real sense of satisfaction in our lives. Sense of identity, sense of accomplishment in our lives. When God brings blessing, but also brings purpose. And also brings wisdom and understanding. And see, when God brings a blessing into our lives, He brings it with wisdom, understanding, and purpose. That's what we call revelation. God's going to give us understanding. You ever been around someone who had all kinds of gifts and skills, but just clueless on how to use them? I love playing sports. And if you've ever been with someone who's like incredibly physically gifted, and you wish you could run as fast and jump as high as they could, but they don't have any idea how to use any of that physical gifts. And it's just totally wasted. Like, no, don't walk over there. Go over here. No, don't just throw the ball there. Go here. You know, they just have no clue. God, as He blesses you, He also wants to give you wisdom and understanding, revelation of how to use the gifts He's given you. But all of that comes out of relationship with Him. The great thing is God loves you, wants to have a relationship with you to show you how to use that. Verse 10, to put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. You know, when Jesus talks about this unity, bringing all things in unity, here's what He's talking about. Sometimes we think of unity as being equality, equal measure. Everybody's going to have equal measure. And so we measure us against each other, and we get into this thing of, no, we just have to all be equal. But actually, when God talks about unity, He's talking about equal celebration. You're all equally celebrated. God loves each and everyone who comes in, and everyone who comes in gets celebrated and say, you're special. Each and every person is special. And there's a unity that comes when we all feel special together. There's this joy when people are well supplied, have all that they need, and go from this trying to measure up, instead of us all trying to measure up and unity being all about just getting along, instead unity turns into celebrating. We feel so overly blessed that our heart is just to be a blessing to others. And it's a unity of all feeling together, being feeling like we're a company of people who are blessed. And it comes out of a generosity of heart because we recognize the generosity of God's heart towards us. And that's why Paul says it all begins with you recognizing how much God loves you. Because if you don't recognize that, then we're always measuring. We're measuring ourselves. We're measuring others. We're trying to measure up. We're trying to see if others measure up. Instead of saying, I'm just filled up. I've got so much of the love of God. I am so celebrated by Jesus. I just want to celebrate somebody else. I just want others to experience that love. And I have love overflowing to give away. God wants us to live. The Bible talks about having a generous eye and a generous heart. And see, that's a spiritual blessing. When you walk with a generous eye, you begin to see the opportunity. And rather than comparing ourselves and saying, well, how come they got more than me? You start to see, man, there's so much opportunity. There's so much blessing there. We celebrate others' blessings because we are so blessed. We're not jealous of others' blessings. We celebrate their blessings. And then we look for others that we can bless in turn. And if you've ever lived in a community like that, that celebrates each other's strengths, it's just, that's the kind of unity that Jesus is talking about. And Jesus said, especially there were the Jews divided the world into two groups, those who were Jews and everybody else. And it's more like this, there's those who are Jews and everybody else. But Jesus is saying, we're all celebrating together. We're all equally loved and blessed by the Father. And God sees us all the same. He loves us. He accepts us. He celebrates us. And so we should love and celebrate each other. The writer of the Hebrews says it this way. Every time you come together, encourage each other. I don't know about you, but when I'm feeling insecure, every time I come together, I evaluate myself and others. Am I, are they going to accept me? Are they liking me? Am I doing enough? Am I behaving right that I can fit in? And that's what comes when we feel insecure, when we don't feel celebrated and loved. But when you step into a room where everybody's celebrating you, you just start to receive that celebration, and then you want to celebrate back. That's what heaven's going to be like. And that's what God wants earth to be like. And especially in church, this should be the place where we celebrate each other because God celebrates us. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you're pretty great, you know. How many of you like hearing that? You know, it's... You know, the reason why it's good to have quiet time every morning, because that's what God wants to say to you every morning. He wants you to wake up and hear him say, you're pretty great, you know. I really like you. Because the Bible says that's what God says. Every morning, God is, that's his thoughts towards us. Every morning, God wakes up, he's always awake. But every morning when we wake up, when we wake up, God's first thought is, hey, you're my sunshine. You're pretty great, you know. I really like you. This is how God thinks towards us. It's kind of like the parent when they come and the baby's in the crib. You know, the first thing they see that baby, they're not saying, well, what are you going to do for me today? Did you have a good night? You know, did you behave last night? Others, oh, my baby. You know, oh, it's so sweet. Let me change your diapers. You know, it's just. That's how God views you. God loves seeing you wake up every morning. He loves putting you down to bed every night. God loves just, the Bible says that God sings over us songs of deliverance. Every area where our hearts have been got caught, because throughout the day, I don't know about you, but my heart through the day, like someone says something bad to me, I get a little bound up in my heart, a little bit offended, a little bit hurt. Something goes wrong during my day, I get a little more insecure or depressed. And all these things start to just, they start to lower my ability to enjoy life, to love others and receive God's love. And at the end of every day, God just wants to sing songs of deliverance over your life and set us free from the junk that builds up in our lives over the day. And every morning, he wants to welcome you with his mercies are new every morning. His thoughts towards you are beyond what you can number, and every thought towards you is good. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. This is what it means to be a Christian. And so when we come on Sundays, church, let's just practice that. You know, let's just say, every Sunday when we come, just say, you know, God really loves me, and I'm going to go love somebody today. And just here's what you're going to find. That if you start to just imagine that God, even if you don't feel like God loves you, just imagine that he might. And how would I behave if God just really did love me? Just imagine if he did, you know? Just imagine if I was really a happy person. What would that look like? Let's just try that today. Let's just pretend that I'm walking in blessing and try to live that out. And then what you'll start to find is that's always the truth, is that you, God loves you and that you are blessed. See, Paul is just laying out the truth here in these first 14 verses. I want you to know the truth, because eventually, once you know the truth, if you believe the truth, eventually the facts will start aligning with the truth in your life. And it'll start from the inside out. You don't have to wait for your circumstances to align to feel the joy of Jesus, to feel the love and acceptance of peace and peace of Jesus. And that's what sets followers of Jesus apart from others, is we don't have to wait for the circumstances to be good for us to feel good. Because we feel good because Christ has made us good from the inside out, and eventually what's on the inside will begin to affect what's on the outside. And people are going to say, how come when everything else is just, you know, falling apart, you have all this peace? How is that when everyone else is in anger, you have joy? How is it that when everyone else is feeling insecure and uncertain, you have a certainty and an assurance that you walk in? It's because our assurance is based on the truth of God's word. So I want to encourage you, just Ephesians 1, just kind of keep reading it and reading it over and over until you start to believe it. So it starts to change the way you see yourself and see others. Because that's how we bring heaven to earth. Would you stand with me? To close today, we're going to just close with the... we're just going to speak blessing. Because if you know Jesus, you're a carrier of blessing. Because God pours out blessing towards you. You are blessed by the Father. This is the truth. This is spiritual reality. And that's actually eternal reality. That's actually true reality. This earth, this world, this physical thing that we are in, it's temporary. You're a spiritual being having a temporary physical earthly experience. And the spiritual truth is that you are loved and blessed. And because you're loved and blessed by God, you carry that blessing and can give it to others. And so just bow your heads for a moment. Lord Jesus, as a people, we come to you. Lord, you know where we've sinned. You know where we've fallen short. And we're so grateful, Lord God, that you freely give us forgiveness. And so today we just say, Lord, forgive me for the areas that I've fallen short. And redeem me. Set me free from the areas in my life where I'm just bound up by offense or greed or hurt, addictions. And Father, open the eyes of my heart today to see your love for me, how much you love me. And may your love for me be the rule in my life. Teach me to submit my heart to your lordship, that I would walk in that love, that I would walk in that grace that's been freely given. So just take a moment. Just breathe in the grace and the blessing of God. We thank you, Father, for your great love for us. We thank you, Jesus, for your great gift of us, to us, your death on the cross. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.